Good day to all of our listeners today. We are so glad to be able to be with you, to be able to talk about God's Word. The name of this program is Let the Bible Speak, and that's exactly what we strive to do, Let the Bible Speak. The way this program works is that if you have a question about something that the Bible says, or maybe you're looking for where the Bible says so-and-so, or maybe you've heard somebody say, the Bible says, but didn't know where that verse was, or you were maybe questioning whether that really is what the Bible says. Well, guess what? This program is designed for you. So if you have a question that you have about the Bible, please give us a call. There are several ways to contact us today. The first way is to call here at the station. We have someone standing by who will take your call. They will write your question down and then bring that in here to us. And that number is 308-9564, and the phones are ringing already. You can also text us at 725-9283. And we will have an opportunity to take some time to go through the scriptures and to find the answer to your question. And we invite you also to turn to those Bible verses with us, because we want you to read what we are reading. We want you to know what the Bible says and read it for yourself. That is so, so vital, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So you need to be able to know what the Bible says. Your salvation may well depend upon it, and we want you to be ready to meet the Lord in judgment. John 12:48, Jesus says that His Word will judge us in the last day, and so we want you to be ready for that. The Lord says that He will come like a thief in the night, and do you know when the thief in the night comes? Well, no, we don't. And so Jesus is blessing us, giving His grace by telling us that we need to be ready. We need to be prepared for whenever that happens. And so please take the time today to call in or to text us with your Bible question, and we can study, as the Bible says, to show ourselves approved unto God. And that is an important thing for us to do. So give us a call. 725-9283 is the text. A voice line is 308-9564. I kind of got those two numbers mixed up, but we invite you to give us a call, and we can study together. We can have a little Bible study here for the next 90 minutes, and we can just enjoy being in touch with God's Word and learning so much about it that can equip us not only for life here and now, but for the after a while. So please be with us today.
Now's your chance. If you want to get your question in today, go ahead and call right now. The number is 308-9564. 308-WJNI. The lines are both available, so go ahead and call right now. That is the voice line, 308-9564. Or you can text us if you'd rather. If you have a phone you text with, you can text in your question to 725-9283, and you can text in your question that way. We are glad to be able to be in your service, and we hope and pray that you have paper and pencil ready to write down the answers as we go to the Bible for the answers to the questions that you ask. You see, you set the topic, you set the theme, but it is God that gives the answer, and we make no apology for that. And the reason that we are so adamant about finding the answers in the Bible is because if you take our word for it, then you're putting your faith in man. Do not listen to us. See the answers for yourself. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, we can see Paul himself by inspiration saying, though we are an angel from heaven, if we preach any other gospel to you than that which you've received, let him be accursed, anathema. That is like a super curse. So Paul is not immune. An angel from heaven is not immune from this curse. And we certainly are not immune from this curse. We better make certain that you listen to God and that we direct you to His Word so that you can have your faith in a way that God will accept it and He will be pleased to be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant, when we hear it and obey it. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. There's one line available, and we will be glad to take your question, and we will go into the Bible for the answer. Again, the text line is 725-9283. We have Linda calling in this question. She wants to know, Ecclesiastes 9:7, explanation of what God is saying. Linda, this is a really good, the book is just an awesome book. And so when you get to chapter 9, you see Solomon in a full description of what life is all about and what it is not all about. And he tells us that he's tried everything in chapter 1 and 2, and he said it's like grasping for air. It is, you come up empty every time. When you get to the end of the book, you see that here is the conclusion, verse 12 and 13, that is to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. This is man's all. This is what life is all about. So it just makes sense right in the middle of this book, as you can see in chapter 9 and verse 7, he's saying, enjoy the things of this life that we have, whether it be bread or whatever it be, make a merry heart. We should enjoy the blessings that we have in this life, food and drink, certainly. But yet at the same time, know that these are not to distract us from the greatest blessing of all, and that is keeping God's commandments and fearing him, showing this awesome respect. And thus, that's why in the middle of this book, he's telling us that. It says, live joyfully and understand that we should always keep our garments white, and that is we should always keep ourselves pure and clean in his sight because he's the one that we fear and keep to commandments to obey. We have a live caller standing by.
Matthew 24. Arthur, are you there?
Yes,
Arthur, we're trying to put you on the air right now. Go ahead and speak, and let's see if we can hear you.
Yes.
Okay, yes, we can. Go right ahead.
I'm glad to hear somebody say they could answer a question if they got a question about the Bible.
Well, we'll do our best.
Mine is coming from the 24th chapter since Matthew.
Okay.
And I was trying to read down to where in that chapter that Jesus told the disciples, take heed that no man deceive you.
Mm-hmm.
When you should have the dissolution of the disposition of the diver places.
Okay.
And there will be fume and pestilence and earthquake in diver places. These are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted.
Yes.
And many prophets shall rise. And immediately after these days, the love of many shall wax cold. And the old day it is, and when ye shall therefore see the abomination of dissolution spoke of by Daniel the prophet,
yes,
standing in the holy place. And this is coming from the 15th chapter of the 24th chapter in Matthew.
Yes, yes. And the whole chapter, if you go back to the beginning of the chapter, you see what it is he's talking about. In verse 1, read that to the radio audience, if you don't mind.
Okay, let me.
In chapter 24 and verse 1.
Okay, it's the first one. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came unto him privately, asking him, tell us, when shall these things be? What's your end of the world?
Well, verse 1. Are you reading verse 1?
I've done down to 2.
Okay, verse 1, his disciples came and showed him the buildings of the temple. So that what was it that they were pointing out to him?
All of the buildings, how the creation of those buildings was.
Yeah, well, Herod is the one that built those buildings. He built the last temple, and they were pointing out the buildings. Now, you compare this to Mark's account in Mark 13 and Luke's. Uh-huh. Luke's account in Luke 21, and you see them pointing out the massive stones that were used to build the temple, and they are still there to this day. Just a few weeks ago, I was there and actually took pictures and videoed some of those massive stones that the temple and the Temple Mount were built upon. And so they were pointing out those things. Now, all of that was destroyed in 70 AD, and that prophecy about that destruction was recorded in this chapter. That's what this chapter was all about. And he was warning them. He says, when you see these things, flee to the hills. Don't go back and pack your bags.
He says,
pray that it's not on the Sabbath. Why? Because the gates of the city would be closed. And on and on, he's giving them warnings.
For there shall be greater tribulation.
Well, and that did come about in 70 A.D. It's not talking about something still to be. This all occurred in the first century. And so those things did occur. And when you get to verse 31, 32, 33, you'll notice here in verse 34, it says, "Assuredly I say unto you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things are fulfilled." So that's how we know that it happened in the first century.
But not only that, we can look into the world and see the things that are happening now, this day. A lot of it is coming from the 24th chapter in Matthew.
Well, a lot of people like to attach present-day events to this chapter, and I'm not one that would do that because I try to just speak as the Bible speaks. And that this chapter, up till verse 34, was exclusively about the things that would be happening in that generation. So you won't hear me using the things in that chapter, nor Mark, nor Luke's account, to make that applicable to today. Now, is it talking about a judgment? Yes, it was a judgment against Israel. Are there similarities in the judgment language throughout the Bible, whether you're talking about Isaiah or Jeremiah? And the answer to that is yes, there are similarities in all the judgment language situations in the Bible. And so there is certainly still a judgment to take place. And there's a lot of similar characteristics in all of those places that you can see in Matthew 24, as well as other places throughout the Bible.
You know, such as it says, "And the love of many shall wax cold."
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So when love waxes cold, all left in is how we hear about the murder rate and the violence that's going on in the world today.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Things pertaining to the love waxing cold.
Yes, there's a lot of similarities. That's exactly right.
They don't have to see him have love for nobody no more.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Die.
Yep. And the last days that people like to talk about today, they actually started in the first century. You'll see that in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and also Acts chapter 2, verse 19, 20, right in there, where Joel gives his prophecy, and Peter says, "This is that which Joel was talking about, that in the last days." So the last days, the last age, started on the day of Pentecost. And by the way, Arthur, look, if you don't mind, write down these two chapters because you'll find it very interesting. Isaiah chapter 19 and Isaiah chapter 13. And you'll see, one more, Ezekiel chapter 32, and you will see very similar language as what's used here to describe physical judgments against people. And so you'll see that that is a similarity in all of those four places.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
And something else, Arthur, if you look in Luke 21 and verses 20, 21 and 24. Yeah, Luke 21, 20, 21, and 24, and they mention specifically Jerusalem and Judea as being the source or the object of this destruction that Jesus talks about both in Matthew 24 and Luke 21.
Okay, I sure going to do what Timothy 2:15 tells me.
There you go.
Okay, way to go, Arthur.
That's great. That's
appreciate
great.
Your call so much.
Thank you very much. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you.
We want to thank Arthur and also Linda for calling in. We appreciate y'all's questions very much. Time for us to take our first break. While we are at break, please know that you can continue to call in your questions to 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Either way, we would be glad for you to get your questions to us, And we would be glad for you to participate in today's broadcast as we go to the Bible for the answer. You set the topic, you set the theme, and God will give the answer. Again, don't miss out on getting your question in. 308-9564. We're about to tell you about a correspondence course that you can take there in your home absolutely free. Don't miss out on getting that. Here's information on it. So get ready to call this number that we're about to give you so that you can get that course on its way to you free of charge. We'll be right back. We hope and pray that you do take advantage of that Bible correspondence course. It is free, just like we mentioned. And you can take that in the privacy of your home and study it anytime you want to. And by the way, you'll probably learn 10 times more from that kind of study than you'll learn from this radio broadcast. No, we're not trying to discredit this radio broadcast. We're trying to encourage you to get into the Word yourself, for you to see the living Word of God for yourself as you study from your own Bible and harvest out the treasure that has been there the whole time. Isn't it amazing that most of us have an unimaginable treasure laying right there in our house, and we never, ever use it? Wow. Why can we do that? Well, the devil wants to keep it that way. As long as we don't open up that book, as long as we do not investigate it, learn it, and then obey it, he will be happy. We can even know everything there is to know about the Bible. As long as we don't believe it or obey it, he's still happy. Let's not make the devil happy. Let's make God joyous over our decision to learn what he expects out of us. Let us find what he says in his word and obey it. Faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word of God, but we've got to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So let's learn what he says first and then become a doer of it. Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23 says, "Not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say unto me that in that day," this is the Lord speaking, "many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I not cast out demons in your name? And in your name done many mighty works? And I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Whoa, we do not want to hear those words. So let's find out what the law does say so we can practice it. Go ahead and call 553-5157 right now. Get the course on its way to you. It is free. You can call and get that to you in the mail even this week. And you'll be able to study that anytime that you desire. In the morning or in the evening, it's up to you. But now when you get it, just don't let it stay in the stack of mail. Open it up, study it with an open Bible, fill it out, and send it back to us, where we will then return lesson 2 and 3. You study that, send it back, where then we will turn back and grade that and send it back to you with lesson 4, 5, and 6. And there's the first course. So get that in its way to you absolutely free. We will never ask for a donation. So put away your checkbooks, put away your money. Do not send us your tithes and offerings. Do not send us a contribution. Let us send you treasure. Now's the chance, 553-5157. If you have a question, go ahead and call us right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
You know, Ricky, there are a lot of challenges for people to know only what the Bible says. It's interesting that even in the Old Testament, that was the truth. That was people who were trying to mess with God's word. The prophets who weren't speaking from God. In fact, Jeremiah 14, verse 15 says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, whom I did not send, and who say, sword and famine shall not be in this land." Then God says, "By sword and famine those prophets shall be consumed." So we talked about Galatians 1, 6 through 9, that Paul was marveled that they were so quickly removed from the gospel by those who would come and preach. And the warning was, even if Paul or an angel from heaven would preach anything different than what he said, let them be accursed. It has always been the challenge, friends and neighbors, that we only listen to what the Word of God says. And Paul wrote to Timothy and says, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. These Bible verses tell us and warn us that it is not all rosy out there in the religious world. These people, the Jeremiah and Paul, of course the Holy Spirit was inspiring both of these men, concerning the things of God's Word. And so we need to be careful that what we're hearing, we can prove that that is the Word of God, because we can find a book and a chapter and a verse that gives that teaching, and it must be in the proper context. And so that's why the noble Bereans were noble, because they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether or not those things were so. And they were listening to the Apostle Paul. Isn't that interesting? And so even the Apostle Paul commended these people because they searched the Scriptures. They just didn't take Paul's word for it. They looked for a verse in the Bible that agreed with what Paul was saying. So that is our plea as well. That is our concern. That is our hope and desire for you, that you will go to the Scriptures and find the answers to your questions. That's what we're trying to do on this radio program, and we hope that that is what your desire is too. So give us a call here at the building, the radio station, 308-9564, or text us at 725-9283, and we will look and see what the Bible has to say about your question. Ricky?
Yes, the voice line is 308-9564. Unfortunately, if you call right now, you will just have to let it ring till we can get to you. But if you'd rather, you can text us at 725-9283. 725-9283 is the text line. The voice line, there's only one line available right now. You can call, but just let it ring until we get to you. 308, this is the voice line, 308-9564. And we'll be glad to get your question and go to the Bible for the answer. Again, just a word or two about the correspondence course while the question is waiting to be brought into us. We want you to know that you can get this course on the way to you even this week. And the truth is, you will discover things in God's Word that you've never seen before. Now, you might be amazed that I could say something like that, but after 41 years, we are still discovering things that we have never seen before, and that is very, very important, because that's what makes the Bible so unique, in that we can discover things in it that will challenge us in our lives. It's not like a newspaper. You read it one time and throw it away, or even a comic strip. You read it once and throw it away. The Bible will challenge us the rest of our lives. It is called the living Word of God. It is called the wisdom of the ages. It also describes how we are to put our lives together and make us whole. That's the only way that we can make it in this life to become what our Creator intended for us to be. So don't miss out on getting the course on its way to you. Here's more information on it. That number, if you want to jump ahead of everybody else, is 553-5157. That is the number to get the Bible correspondence course on its way to you right away. Right now, call 553-5157 to get the correspondence course to you. Now, if you have a question, you can call in 308-9564. That is the voice line. Or you can always, at any time, text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. All right, we are back live, and even though we have a couple of questions, we've got a live caller standing by. They want to ask us a question concerning wealth and what the Bible says. I'm sorry, we didn't get your name. Can you tell us your name?
Good afternoon. Yes.
Yes.
My name is Kim Miller, in searching the scriptures, I have found and understand that when God speaks about riches, he's speaking in the things in which he's given us plentiful. He's not necessarily referring to what some ministers teach about being wealthy in terms of becoming millionaires and things of this nature. God has given us this earth and the fullness thereof, and we are to love one another, which is the new commandment.
Okay,
and love means sharing.
Ma'am, can I, because we barely can understand you, there's some distortion in the signal. Can you just go ahead and give us the question, and then we'll go to the Bible for the answer?
The question is that correct teaching?
That God wants us to be wealthy in this life?
No, that, yes, God wants, the wealth that God is speaking about, is that money or is that many things?
Well, okay, there's the question. The wealth that God wants us to have is the same wealth that Jesus had and the apostles had. Every one of them died in the same way, poor. And Jesus said that he did not even have a place to lay his head down. But were they wealthy? Oh, absolutely. But their wealth was in heaven. Jesus explains that in Matthew 5 and 6. Where he brings out, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust do corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where that doesn't happen. And then he goes on to say, do not be anxious about what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and then says, but seek first the kingdom of God in verse 33, and all these things, that is food, clothing, all these things will be added unto you. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has sufficient worries of its own. And so we've got to understand he's talking about laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. So if Jesus, now some of the apostles started out wealthy, but none of them ended up that way. And so if that's true of them, and we're supposed to follow Christ and the approved examples of the apostles, is our walk with the Lord all about things that rust and that corrupt with the passing of time? And the answer to that is what? The answer to that is no. And so that's, okay, and so that's what God is most concerned with. And so all of these preachers that get out there and preach a health and wealth gospel are not, I repeat, are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Have a blessed day.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Again, the number to call if you have a question is 308-9564. Both lines are available. Now you can get in. 308-9564. If you'd rather, you can text us at 725-9283. Steve, you have the next question?
Yes, we have a question from Patricia, and she asks about a Bible verse. It's found in Psalms 105, verse 15. You will probably recognize it, and it says, saying, do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. And so what she wants to know about this question is it talking about pastors only or all anointed? Well, in the context of Psalms 105, it is talking about what the Lord has done and his wonderful works and his wonderful deeds. And so the statement in verse 15 is that, starting in verse 14, he permitted no one to do them wrong, speaking about his protection of Israel. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. So in the context, the anointed ones were the kings of Israel. If you remember your Old Testament history, Saul was anointed by Samuel, anointed with a flask of oil poured upon his head, signifying that he was going to be king. Well, Saul sinned, and then David was sought out at his father's home, Jesse, where he was anointed king. And so Verse 14 says, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. Now, prophets were also anointed, and so we have two references in the Old Testament, kings and prophets that were anointed, and even Aaron, I believe, was anointed. And those are the only references in the Old Testament, the people who are anointed. People like to take this passage and apply it to preachers today, which is a misuse of this scripture. So you take a verse out of context if you apply it to pastors or preachers today. And so the authority we have to speak for God is to speak His word, because He has all authority and we can only speak that which He speaks. And so we don't have the right or ability to go off on our own claiming that God has made us somehow special with some kind of mysterious anointing. So, Patricia, we appreciate so much that question. Again, pay attention to context of the verses that are before and after the verse you're thinking about. That helps tremendously to give us understanding of God's Word. And so we appreciate that so much and appreciate your interest. Again, if you have a question as well, the station's number is 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283, and you will get your question on the air that we can study to see what the Bible says.
Don't miss out on getting your question in. 308-9564. Both lines are available. That's the voice line. You can call in, have your question written down and brought in to us, as these have, or go live, as the previous caller was as well. And the questions are yours. The theme is yours. The topic is yours. But God gives the answer. As we go to the Bible, we'll give you book, chapter, and verse. 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. We have Joe calling in this question. Just noticed that several called in right now, and so go ahead and let the phone ring, and we will get to you as quick as possible. We have Joe's question. He says, the city of the seven hills, what city is this? Joe, that's a really good question, and it dawned on me. I thought, city of seven hills? I was raised there. And so when you look, that phrase is taken from Revelation chapter 17 and verse 9, where it talks about seven mountains. Maybe another translation puts it as hills. And it's talking about the great harlot in symbolic language, talking about how that there's going to be a battle, and this battle is going to be between good and evil. And all of these visions are given in the book of Revelation, and they all conclude the same thing. The message of the book of Revelation is, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. No matter what kind of tribulation or problems or suffering that we have to go through in order to stay faithful to God, we need to stay the course, stay faithful to God. That's the message. And so let's make certain that we do not give up in serving the Lord. Now, we can look into this book and pick it apart and find detail, and I believe we will be doing a disservice to what God intended for this book to be about. It is a picture book, the only book of its kind in the Bible, and it is written with a view to looking at each of these pictures, these visions, with a familiar theme so that we might be able to see the message. The message is, be faithful, even unto death. You're going to win. That's the message. We're going to win. And so that is just one verse, a part of one of those visions that is to be taken that way. Thanks, Joe, very much. We sure do appreciate it very much. Again, the number, we noticed we just missed a call. Go ahead and call back. You'll be able to get through. Both lines are available. 308-9564. That is the number, the voice line, 308-9564. And we can let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. Steve, you have the next question?
Yes, so we have a question from Akil, and Akil wants to know, why doesn't the Bible speak against slavery? Well, there's a couple of verses I want for us to look at, and one is in the book of Colossians in the New Testament that speaks to that, and then there's another one in the book of Philemon we want to talk about as well. So let's turn to Colossians chapter 3 together and notice some things that were said there concerning what we would know as slavery. Maybe not the same kind of slavery they had back then, but we'll not try to mince words about that. But go to Colossians 3 and verse 22, and it says, "Bondservants," I'm reading from the New King James, other translations might render it different, might render it slaves. It says, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." So in this verse, the tells people who are servants, bondservants, slaves, who are Christians, that they need to respond in a certain way to those who are their masters. And there's no partiality here, because in the next chapter, chapter 4, verse 1, it talks about the masters. This is masters. "Give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." And so, while the Bible doesn't condemn slavery, that is, it doesn't make the slave owners release their slaves, what it does do is that it infects this situation of masters and slaves with the gospel. And so when you read these two verses, it tells us that the servant, he's to do his job, he's to do it as to the Lord. And the master, well, he is to treat his bondservant fairly and justly, and because he also has a master in heaven. And so what it does is it changes the face of slavery to be more like what, even better than what we have today, an employer-employee relationship. Now let's go to that passage in Philemon. This is interesting because Philemon is a slave owner. He has a slave, Onesimus, that escapes, that runs away, and he ends up finding himself with the Apostle Paul. And what Paul says to Onesimus and Philemon, that he be sent back. Verse 12 of Philemon says, "I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, but voluntarily." And then in verse 16, "No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but now much more in you, both in the flesh and in the Lord." So what the gospel's whole goal was is to change the hearts of men, not to change, force change upon a society, but to change the hearts of men. And when it does that, then it takes away all of the injustices of things like slavery. So that was the way the Lord sought to change the world, by changing men's hearts. Now, Akia, we appreciate so much that question, and we invite others to continue to call in your question as well.
We have one line available right now if you want to call in, 308-9564, or you can text us your question at 725-9283. We're about to tell you about the Bible Correspondence Course. Get ready. Here's information on it. Don't miss out on this. Go ahead and call for the course at 553-5157. We will be right back. We're back live now, and we're glad that you are joining us as we go to the Bible for the answer. And all of those of you that are calling in response to the questions and giving us questions, you are to be commended. That says something about your heart and your desire to serve the Lord. We have a live caller standing by the name of Neil, to follow up on a question I think, Steve, you were talking about before the break concerning what the Bible says about slavery. Neil, yes. Are you there?
I'm here.
How can we help you, Neil?
Well, that really didn't sound like the Bible is condemning slavery. I mean, if you're keeping somebody against their will, I would like to believe that that's wrong, but what I gather from that, it sounds to me that the Bible is cool with it, and, you know, you just serve your master and be happy. That scares me to death.
Well, I want you to also think about what the gospel would do to change the face of slavery. When we hear the word slavery, we think of all the torturous things that were done and the mistreatment of people by their masters. The Bible doesn't teach that kind of relationship. If you look in another companion passage to the one in Colossians, Ephesians chapter 6 addresses the masters and says, "And you masters, do the same things to them." That is talking about doing them good. It says, "Giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." That is, the slave and the master are going to be held to the same standard of doing what's right for the other person. So the idea of mistreatment of somebody, the idea of owning somebody, of not treating them fairly, of abusing them, that is a sinful kind of activity. And so the idea of working for somebody, the idea of having that kind of relationship is not in itself sinful. What makes it wrong is all the sinful activities that we characterize by slavery. Ricky?
Yeah, and Neil, something else you might not be aware of. The slaves in the Bible, most of those that it's talking about, are those who made themselves slaves. They spent more money. They had an expense they couldn't take care of. And so they would sometimes place their children as slaves until they could redeem them back. Or they would sometimes put themselves to be slaves until they could pay the debt. And so that was the way of the economics in the Old Testament. And so today, our government has invented something called bankruptcy. Well, they had no such thing as that. And so they willingly made themselves slaves when they overexpended themselves, and that's how they ended up becoming slaves by then. It was by their choice. It was not compelled upon them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I was thinking in terms of somebody being kept against their will and being, kept by force.
Because
you're treating them good or bad, you're still keeping them against their will.
Yeah, this was something where they chose to become slaves by the process of their debtedness or indebtedness, or where they couldn't pay a debt back. There's another sense that they probably included as well. There was the idea of if you were not a Roman citizen, you were a slave. And so there was the imperialistic notion about that as well. And thus, when Jesus says that if someone compels you to go a mile, go 2 miles, because, see, that was the law. Everybody that was not a Roman citizen was a slave, at least for a mile. See, and so Jesus says, you go the extra mile. You show yourself a good slave, a good servant for that mile. And so there were laws built into it that way as well. But all of this was either through politics or through understanding. And if we lived in a monarchy, the king and his family, they had absolute control. Everybody else in the kingdom were slaves. Now, see, that's why this seems so strange to us here in America, because we live in not a monarchy, but a democracy. And so that's what makes it so weird to us today, plus with the history of so many people being brought into this country against their will from a distant land. And that's why it is so egregious or painful for us to even talk about slavery in our society today from the history. But in the Bible, it was not so egregious.
Neil, consider Colossians 4, verse 1. I'm reading from the New American Standard. It says, "Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness." And so, again, those are two concepts that are foreign to most of our culture's understanding of how slavery was administered. So the Roman government, as Ricky said, would put people into slavery, And so that was the way they would do things. But the again, the face and the nature of slavery was, in many cases, very, very different from what we know in our country.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So we're not saying that the Bible proves slavery, but it monitors, it changes the nature of it so that people would ultimately want to do the right thing for their fellow man.
And never does the Bible condone or abuse
right.
of fellow human beings,
right.
ever.
No matter what the relationship.
I hope not, because that would be pretty scary.
Yes.
Yes, it would.
But now, when it was a political atmosphere in the Old Testament, when God gave up on a nation, they were told to go and destroy every person that breathed. And so there were times when God executed judgment against people, and it was supposed to be absolute when he commissioned them to do it. And they, when they didn't do it, oh, it became painful to them for many generations to come. And so, and so we can see that, of course, in God's word as well. All right. Well, thank you so much, Neil, and thank you for calling back to clarify on this. We sure do appreciate it.
Yes, really do.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Well, God bless you. Again, the number, if you have a question, you can call right now, 308-9564. That is the voice line, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. 725-9283. And we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. We are glad to be able to be in your presence, and we hope and pray that you are being blessed from today's discussion. We have this question coming in, a text question from 113. Their question is 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 10 talking about when Jesus returns, or the part dealing with our salvation? Well, let's read the passage to begin with, and we'll see that this passage is not talking about Jesus' return at all. And so, unfortunately, there's so many people that will take this passage and twist it around to where they will make it something it just is not saying at all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the verse actually under discussion is, "But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with." And so there are friends that I know that take this passage to mean that that is Jesus. But have you ever referred to your parents as a that? When you're young, if you said that over there said this, what kind of atmosphere did you just charge with such a statement as that? Would anybody refer to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings as that? Oh, yeah, you see the problem, don't you? Well, so this verse is not talking about Jesus. It is talking about the word itself, the word perfect. In some translations, it puts it as the word complete. That's the meaning of it. So now we have to look and see what it's talking about. And you can see in the chapter, he's talking about the spiritual gifts that were given in order to get the word of God and to confirm the word. Consult Hebrews 2, verses 2 through 4 to notice that. And all of these gifts that were given were in part. He says, we know in part, we prophesy in part, verse 9. But when that which is perfect or complete has come, when all of this is done, then that which is in part will be done away with. And so when the word of God was completed, those parts, those supernatural works of the Holy Spirit were done away. And now we have the complete word of God. There is no need for an ongoing revelation because we have it all right here within the word of God, the Bible. And thus, we can trust and understand that God gives the perfect set of rules for each of us to live by. And those parts that it's referring to were done away there once the Bible was complete. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate your interest in knowing what the Bible says. Again, the number is 308-9564. Wow, time has flown by. We're up against another break. We want you to know, while we are at break, you can continue with your questions, 308-9564. Both lines are available right now. You can call, or you can text us at 725-9283. The course we're about to tell you about is free. Let me let you know one more thing about it, and that is most churches today are restricted from telling you the whole truth. They will not or cannot tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth because they must remain within their denominational parameters or else they're no longer that denomination. Now, if we're only getting part of the truth, will there be a surprise on the judgment day? There may be. So let us help you to get into the Word and find the whole truth. Go ahead and enroll in this course that we're about to tell you about. The number is 553-5157 for the course. Call it right now, and we'll get it to you in the mail this week. Now, if you're one of our thousands of Bible students, you've already got the course, go ahead and call in your questions, 308-9564. We are glad to be of service to you. We'll go to the Bible for the answer, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
We are glad for your continued participation in the program. We've been quite busy. Time has passed rapidly, but you still have time to call. Don't let the last half hour here discourage you from participating. So give us a call here at the station. 308-9564 is the number to call to give your Bible question. You can also text us, 725-9283, and that number will give us the question that you have on your mind and on your heart today. We've had some real good ones today, and so we appreciate so much your ability to call in and your desire to call in. That says a whole lot about you and your spiritual interests. So please continue to call in the program. 725-9283 is the text. The voice line is 308-9564.
Don't miss out on getting your question in. There's one line available, so if you call right now on the voice line, just let it ring until we get to you, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather text, you can text to 725-9283. Don't miss out. Today's broadcast, we've got about 20-something minutes left, so don't miss out on getting your question in right now. We have Blanche calling in this question. The question is, did slavery exist before the Israelites asked for a king? Yes, Blanche, first of all, you're gonna kick yourself. You remember where the Israelites were before Moses came along? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they were slaves. Yes, there was slavery back then. And they were compelled to be slaves by the Egyptians. But something you may not be aware of, that slavery was built into the law of Moses as well. In Exodus chapter 21 in verse 2, this was after the Ten Commandments were given, we will see this. Let me just read from the the King James Version. It says, If you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve 6 years, but on the seventh he shall go out as a free man without payment. So they could sell themselves into slavery for 6 years, or a total of seven, and then they were to go free. That was the maximum length of time that they were to be able to sell themselves as a slave. That's Exodus 21 and verse 2. It goes on to talk more about that. If you want to turn to that passage, you'll be seeing that. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. Steve?
We have a question here from William, and William is asking, are new translations adding to God's Word? William, that is a great question, and I'm sure a lot of people have that same concern as well. And the answer to that question is in two parts. One is, what do you consider a translation? Because there are two different types of Bibles, three that call themselves translations. One is a word-for-word translation, and that means it takes the word from the original Hebrew or Greek and then gives it the same meaning in whatever language you want to. In our case, we call it English. Those are good translations. And so you've got the King James, New King James, American Standard, which are hard to find these days, New American Standard and English Standard Version are all good word-for-word translations. Then there is another group called Thought for Thought Translations, the NIV, to some degree, the Revised Standard, and I can't remember.
Most of the rest of them are
Most of the rest of them, Good News Bible. And some of those are just plain old paraphrases, like the Living Bible, where one person, Edgar Goodspeed has a paraphrase out, where they kind of are free to add what they think it means. And those I would not recommend you read, or at least use for your study Bible. And so a typical word-for-word translation will not add to the Scriptures nor take away from it. And so a good example of that is the NIV, who uses the term sinful nature. Well, that concept is not in the Bible. It's not a teaching of the Bible that we have inherited a sinful nature. But the NIV uses that, and so it is supplied by the translators. That is, it's not reflected in the original manuscripts. And so that's the concern, William, that you need to have. Keep with a good word-for-word. King James, New King James, American Standard, New American Standard, English Standard Version. And then you will be assured of reading what God wants you to have. So we appreciate so much that question. And so, again, continue to call in. 308-9564 or text us at 725-9283. Ricky?
Yes, we have a live caller standing by, but we can't get to you just at a second. We'll get to you in just a moment, so hold on. Do not hang up. In the meantime, I'm going to answer Lottie's question. Her question is, Deuteronomy 14, verses 3 through 12, should we follow this today? Well, Lottie, this is the specific instructions about what to eat and what not to eat and what consider food and what not to consider food. That was also nailed to the cross. So it is not a law that we're going to be judged by today. However, being that when we do research on those list of animals where it says do not eat, there have been specific, literally clear hazards in eating those foods. And so it may not be wise to make that commonly in our diet, but to say it is a sin, no, we can't say that. Colossians 2:14 says that law was nailed to the cross, and so you can't say that it's a sin. Would it be wise to go ahead and eat varmints and parasites and such? I don't know about you. I'm not going to try to do that, at least on a regular basis. And so so some of those things in that list do have such dangers as that. And then what about the purpose of tithes? Those tithes were nailed to the cross as well, along with that Deuteronomy 14 passage, and that was part of the way that the Levites were paid for their service in God's kingdom or God's service. And so that was what the tithes were go to. If you want more information on that, all of you listening today, you can go to our website at www.biblealone.com. Go to the Bible materials, and you can download a couple of Bible studies on that subject so that you can see what the Bible says. Would you be surprised to know that tithes were not money? Wow, that's different, isn't it? Yes, it is. You bring a live goat to church today, and I guarantee you, you're going to create a problem. But that's exactly what those things were back then. They were those kind of things. So the live caller is Sandra standing by. Sandra, we are ready to get your question, and we can put you live on the air. Sandra, how can we help you?
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. How can we help you?
Hi, Steve. This is Sandra.
Hey, Sandra. How are you?
All right. My question is this. I don't know the scripture, but it appears that I recall a story about a man, and I think that he was a soldier or someone in the army, and he had gotten to a certain age, and he felt like God couldn't use him anymore. And I believe that somehow God sent word that he was going to give him new vigor to start him over again. I've been contemplating a certain age, and I have some things that I would like to do for the Lord, but it seems like my age could possibly be, it's just kind of I'm just kind of struggling with the age factor. Do you know of a scripture that may be able to help me and release me in this area?
You may be thinking about King Hezekiah. I was just turning to what I hope was be the passage. It's in probably in 2 Chronicles somewhere. And there's also a reference to it in Isaiah, because the prophet Isaiah is the one who told him that that would be the case, that he would be prolonged in his life. And so I don't know if that's the one you're referring to or not. As you were asking the question, Ricky and I were kind of looking at each other, and the name Hezekiah came to us at the same time. But we're going to be looking for that passage so that we can read it to you, and maybe that would ring a bell with you, and you could find recognition with that. And so that might be helpful. I'm looking in 2 Chronicles around 32, where it says that in those days Hezekiah was sick and near death, and he prayed to the Lord, and he spoke to him and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, wrath was looming over him and over Judah and Jerusalem. Then in verse 26, Hezekiah humbled himself because of his pride. And I'm trying to go down here, read ahead here, and then it says he rested with his father, so I'm not sure that was the thing you were looking for. So I'm still kind
in
of
second, Ricky? 2 Kings chapter 20, we see him praying for recovery, that there was he got sick, and Isaiah came and told him that to set his house in order. In verse 1, he turned his face to the wall. In verse 2, and prayed. The Lord heard his prayer. Verse 3, 4, 5, Isaiah came back and told him that God is going to give him 20 years more to live, and even sealed it with a sign. And so there is that story. And so that's
I think that's the story that I was trying to recall.
Okay.
I definitely thank you for giving me that passage. I appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome. The as far as your question, if I understood it to begin with, the Lord expects us to work till the day we die. And Hebrews talks about there's a rest coming, but the rest is not here. And so in the kingdom of God, none of us retire. I'm amazed at how many preachers will just put in so many years and they just say, okay, I'm going into retirement now. Well, we never retire in serving the Lord. We serve him to the day we die. The day of our retirement is when we get to heaven. That's the true rest to come.
Okay.
And the other thing, Sandra, to keep in mind is that we're all terminal. We're all going to die. And even with the case of Hezekiah, it wasn't a typical thing for God to extend someone's life. Psalms says a man's time on earth is 70, and if by the grace of God, you know,
a strength of
10 more. And so we need to be appreciative of, as regardless of our age, and you know my age, I'm getting older too, and that I just, you know, just pray the Lord that I have the strength to do what he wants me to do until he's done with me, and then I can go home.
Okay, I received that. Thank you so much, Steve.
All right, good to
please
talk
tell
to you.
Joy, I said hello.
I sure will.
Thank you for your listening, and thank you for your call and your participation. We appreciate it very much.
Okay, thank you.
God bless you. Again, the number is 308-9564. This is our last break, ladies and gentlemen. If you have not enrolled in the Bible Correspondence Course, now is your last chance during the broadcast. The number for the Bible Correspondence Course is 553-5157. Call now. We'll get it in the mail to you. Sandra, along with many others of you, have already received this course and are going through it, and we are happy to send this to you free of charge. It is absolutely free. Studying the Bible for yourself will build a faith of your own, because you're seeing the answers in God's Word, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, let's remove the blinders that the devil has put on us to keep us from seeing the whole truth. See the things in God's Word for yourself explore what God expects of us, not what man or church or parents or friends or the world. Let's explore what God expects of us, so when each of us stand before Him in judgment one day, we will be able to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And thus, when we see what God's Word says, then we can do it, and He very well may be able to say those things to us. Let's find the truth, and let's obey it so that we may show ourselves approved to Him. Again, the number for that course is 553-5157, 553-5157. Call now. It'll be in the mail this week. Now, if you're one of our thousands of Bible students, just go ahead and continue with the questions. The question line is 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live, and we hope that line is busy with many of you calling right now to enroll in the course. We are thrilled to see your interest in studying God's Word. So please don't miss out on this. 553-5157. It is free. It will always be free. We ask that you just put away your checkbook, put away your money. We want to give you treasure that will never be taken away from you. That goes all the way back to the beginning of the program, first question. So let us share with you the treasure that will never rust or corrupt or thieves break through and steal. The only one that can steal this treasure is if we allow the devil to distract us from this worthy, straight, and narrow path to heaven. But we've got to find that path. We've got to go to the map for the instructions in finding that path. We must let the Bible speak. So go ahead with your questions. There is one line available, 308-9564. We have Jesse calling in this question. He wants to know, is it okay for Christians to be a Democrat? Well, Jesse, there's no such thing in the Bible as a Democrat or Republican. Matter of fact, there's no such thing as a democracy in the Bible. So we really can't answer that specifically. And so there's just no clear-cut answer to answer it that way. However, there is a principle that you may like to be aware of, and that is a principle of fellowship. And that is, if I am on board with someone, then I am guilty of all that they are guilty of. And so if I am in fellowship with, let me look to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and you will see these terms that are used here. He says, do not, this is chapter 6, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? That would be the devil. And what part has the believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? And what, for you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I'll receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Now, here's a passage that shows us we need to make certain that we're not on board with that which is evil, that which is wrong, that which is sinful. It doesn't matter what name they may ascribe themselves with. It may be the Boy Scouts, as far as all I know. We need to make certain that we are only going to be in fellowship with those things that God would condone. If we even are rejoicing or even in being entertained by those things, in Romans chapter 1, there's a list of sins. Right in the middle of that list is disobedient to parents. I am amazed at the number of people that will watch adult cartoons that show nothing but disregard for authority and reproach for those that try to do what is good, and they laugh at it. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in fellowship with wrong if we are entertained by that. So even that would make it wrong. If you doubt that, read Romans 1, verses 20 through the end of the chapter, verse 32, and you'll see Yeah, we cannot condone with that which is wrong, no matter what kind of title it may be in. It may even be a cartoon. So there you go. Got off my hobby. It is something that really irritates me that our younger generation is being so poisoned into this idea of respect for authority. Thanks, Jesse. I appreciate that very much. Again, the number is 308-9564.
We have a question here from Erica, and she wants to know, what does the Bible say about a woman waiting for a husband? And I appreciate, Erica, that question so much. I've got three daughters, and so I have encouraged them to put their life in the hand of the Lord, to commit themselves to Him and ask Him and to wait on Him, because trying to find a mate for life is a challenging thing, and we need His help. So with that regard, in 1 Peter 5 and verse 6, it says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." We need God's help in finding lifelong mates that will encourage us to do right. So as a woman, you are desirous of a man who will be a good spiritual leader. You won't find him in the club. You won't find him walking the street. You'll find him studying his Bible.
What about in a bar?
No.
Singles club?
No, I don't think so.
What about on some kind of website that, you know, promotes immorality?
Nope. That's a definite no.
Wow.
And so if you want somebody who honors God, you have to look in certain places. And there are things that you can do about that. You can attend a Bible teaching church and find young men that way. There are some websites that are for Christian singles, but the warning about that is that, you know, finding a lifelong mate takes more than 20 seconds on a chat line. So there are other passages and concepts that the Bible talk about that are very, very important. One is patience. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "Those who wait upon the Lord will be lifted up on the wings of eagles." And then another very, very good passage to use to prepare yourself so that you could be the right kind of person to get married is Proverbs chapter 31. It talks about a virtuous wife. And so if you want to be the right kind of wife, you know, sometimes we're looking for the right person, the right mate, without maybe thinking about, well, what about am I doing to myself? What am I doing? What am I preparing for? And so you need to do that as well. So while you're waiting on the Lord to answer your prayer about this, you need to be devoting yourself to being a godly woman, a godly person. And so the hope is that somebody out there, in fact, if you read Proverbs 31, these are the words of King Lemuel that his mother taught him. His mother told him about a virtuous woman. And so if you become that virtuous woman, there's somebody out there who's been taught by his mama about what a virtuous woman's all about. And we just pray the Lord that those two meet each other. So appreciate so much that concern, Erica, and the desire you have to please the Lord. We are just about out of time. You got something to finish up with?
Well, I'm going to have to hold this question. Mr. Miller, let me encourage you to tune in next week. We're going to deal with your question more next week. I'm a little bit confused about your question is so broad. I'm not certain exactly what you're pointing out as far as your question. But if you want to call back or text, you can text the clarity of it to 725-9283, and that will help us. But if not, we'll just do our best to talk about it at the beginning of the program next week. We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your question. Thank you for your heart that is seeking after God. All we desire to do is to let God be the one that you hear. Let God's word be the only thing that settles in your heart as we let the Bible speak.